Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly, truly blessed to be with you this lovely, cool morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning? Good morning, Mother Valerie. This is clear. There we go. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
Good morning, Pastor Bridget. I'm doing fine.
I'm like, where is she?
You're muted.
There you are.
Unmuted. Yes,
right.
I'm doing great. Beautiful morning.
It is, you know, it's not going to be a real sunny day because it's supposed to rain today, but it's still a great day because this is the day that the Lord has made. So in about an hour or so, it's supposed to rain. And a high today is about 60-something, I believe. About 60 high, and current temperature is 53.
Wow.
So still not bad. It's kind of rainy, but, you know, we need the rain to cleanse the earth, so it's all good.
It is all good.
So good morning again.
Good morning.
Yeah,
I was up at 6 o'clock and I was looking for that sunrise, and it wasn't there. You know, that beautiful, beautiful sunrise that you get early in the morning. And I said, well, evidently it's raining. Yeah. But God is good all the time.
Yes.
He woke us up.
Amen. And he didn't have to. That's the whole point. He did not have to wake us up, but he did. And that's what's so great about our God, is that he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to. But he always comes and cares about us. Even when we don't always care about ourselves. What a mighty God we serve.
The God is always good. He's good all the time. And we just
Amen. We got an interesting title this morning, and the title that God gave me early this morning is Be Careful What You Vow. Your mouth can change your life. Woo!
Amen.
And I thought, wow, what a lesson. And, of course, it is coming out of Judges 11, and it deals with Jephthah, who was a Gileadite. He was from the tribe of Gileadite, and he was a mighty man of valor. And he had no sons. He only had one child. And, you know, it was like, wow. You know, his wife, it says Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jason out and said to him, you know, his mom was a harlot, and so his father's sons got rid of him. So now when they get older and things start happening, they come to him for help because he was a man of valor. He was tough. He was awesome. And, you know, again, you don't never know what can happen when you're doing what you're supposed to do. So that had to come. But he had made a vow to God that he had to keep.
Amen.
And if you listen to our lesson this morning, you'll understand what that vow was. And that's why we can't make vows. I promise I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I promise. Because you can break that vow. You can make it. And, you know, that's why you don't make promises that you are not sure you can keep. You know, that's like co-sign for me. I promise to pay my car note. And then you find out, no, they didn't pay their car note. Instead, you did. That's why you don't co-sign. And the Word of God tells us not to do it, that we should not be do signatures for anybody. We should not do that. We can't make vows that we can't keep. Because I always tell somebody, if you're going to co-sign for somebody, make sure you got enough money to cover that debt. Because if you don't do it. Don't do it. Because you're going to wind up paying that bill. Whether you like it or not, it's going to be your bill. And don't get mad.
Amen.
You are the one to co-sign. Come on. Call it like it is. But anyway, in our word today, again, it was talking about vows, you know, what the Bible says about vows and how we must be careful. And, you know, our prayer this morning is right in line with our word for today, too. And it just says that it will be done. It will be done. And it says, I also persevered in the work on this wall, and this is dealing with Nehemiah, and we acquired no land. And all my servants were gathered there for the work. Nehemiah 5, 6, ES version. Heavenly Father, fill me with the courage of your love that enables me to thrive in every circumstance. Give me perseverance to follow through on what I have to do. Oh, my God. This is just for me. Sometimes it seems like too much when the work is never ending and the demands are great. Give me the persistence I need to do what I can and the grace to let go of what I can't. I know that as I work day by day, projects will be finished. Other things are harder to measure, but let your grace remain the same. I know that if I will not give up, what needs to get done will be accomplished in a go, 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 go world with tons of distractions. The extremes feel personified. I ask for your grace to be faithful in my commitment and to be as diligent in letting myself rest at the end of the day. I need your help in this, Lord. And then the question is, pressure of work that seems never ending. Yes, I do. We got to go to work because we work for God and we work to do what we need to do to get our houses in order. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Heavenly Father God, we come to you this morning thankful, grateful, and truly blessed that you have given us another day. You didn't have to, Lord, but you did. And we thank you. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us for any sins that we may have committed in thought, in word, and deed before we go forth in your word. Father God, I ask that you guide and lead us in the right way, God, that we will not depart from you, that we will not depart from your word, that we will continuously meditate on it day and night. Father God, I lift up our churches. I lift up our pastors, Lord, who are under attack. Many are falling and fallen because the enemy is trying to destroy the church. But, Lord, we know that we are the churches we leave it. We are the churches we enter it. We are the church. Because we may be the only person that someone sees your light in. So, Lord God, let your light shine in us. Let us not be like old salt that has no flavor. Lord, let us be a light that seeketh others to your home, to your house, to be with you, God, who want to get to know you because they see your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and they see the strength that we carry, which is you. Father God, we lift up this word. Let it permeate hearts, minds, and spirits this morning. Let someone who is listening, God, feel your presence in their life and that they know I'm all right because God is with me. And how do I know? Because his word says so. Father God, we thank you again. Through May, we thank you for this word. And we ask you, Lord God, as we do every day, please increase as we decrease. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength. You are our joy. You are our peace. You are our everything. And it's in the name of our matchless, redeeming Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And Lord God, please add a blessing to the hearers and the readers of this word. Again, I say, in Jesus' name, amen. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. We will be coming this morning, Mother Valerie, out of Judges chapter 11 and 12. And there is a vow that Mother will go over, and I'll come back and read a little bit of that as well. After the end of the at the end of the show, time permit, we'll go over it one more time, some highlights. And she'll also be reading Judges 12. I'll be back with the Psalms of chapter 50 through 7 and 15, Proverbs 14, verse 28, and Luke chapter 17. Again, we have to be very careful that our mouth does not get us in trouble. Be careful what you vow. Your mouth can change your life for the better or for the worse. And I'm speaking this because I experienced it. I knew someone who would always talk about their death date. You know, I'm not going to live to be XYZ. I'm not going to live to be XYZ. I'm not going to live to be 80 years old. I'm not going to live to be 90 years old. And, you know, spoke that word one time too many and said, I'm not going to live to make 60 years old. And guess what? They did not live to be 60. We have to be careful what we speak. With long life, David said, you will satisfy me. And David did live a long life. He gave his kingdom to his son. And we knew at this thought, his son, who asked for wisdom over riches, would be a great king. And he was. Had all the wisdom in the world, but messed up by having too many women. And not just any women, women of pagan origin, who took him out of his square. And then he became old and cantankerous, talking about vanities and vanities, and upset because he knew that he had walked on the wild side. He had worshipped other gods. He had gone against everything that he knew was right. And that's why we must be careful, because he made vows to these women in marriage, idols for them. We must watch and pray and be careful that we don't step outside. Be careful what you vow. Mother Valerie, take us to the throne,
Lord,
in the Word of God.
Really, good morning, people of God. That's really a beautiful title. Be careful what you vow. God said in his word that you should not make a vow unless you're going to keep it. He said it's better that you don't vow. If you don't do it, it says your mouth, be careful what you vow. Your mouth can change life. And the Bible said you have what you say. So you're supposed to speak life to your life. And be careful of what you say, because you will have what you say. It will come to pass. So just be careful of what you're talking about. Because if you say you're not going to live until you're 60, you will die, because you're speaking this over your own life. You'll have what you say. And that's why, you know, I didn't make a vow about how much money I would give to help pay the church off. I just said that I will give. But as far as pledging, no, I'm not going to make a pledge, because I might not be able to fulfill that pledge. So I'm not going to do it. But I am going to give the church a certain amount of money in order to get the church paid off by December. I'm coming out of Judges 11, 1, 12, and 15. Now, Jethro, the Gittite, was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jethro. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jethro out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jethro fled from his brothers, dwelling in the land of Tob, and worthless men band together with Jethro and went out raiding with him. Came to pass after time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was, when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, that the elders of Gilead went to get Jethro from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jethro, "Come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon." So Jethro said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jethro, "That is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." So Jethro said to the elders of Gilead, "If you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jethro, "The Lord would be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words." Then Jethro went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jethro spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now Jethro sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon, saying, "What do you have against me that you come to fight against me in my land?" King of the people of Ammon answered the messengers of Jethro, "Because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Aaron as far as Jabbok and in the Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands peacefully." But Jethro again sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon and said to him, "Thus says Jethro, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the people of Ammon. For when Israel came up from Egypt, they walked through the wilderness as far as the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Please let me pass through your land.' But the king of Edom would not heed. And in like manner, they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained in Kadesh. And they went along through the wilderness and bypassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, came to the east side of the land of Moab, and encamped on the other side of Aaron. But they did not enter the border of Moab, for Aaron was the border of Moab. Then Israel sent messages to Sihon, king of the Ammonites, king of Heshbon. And Israel said to him, 'Please, let us pass through your land into our place.' But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together in camp in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. Thus Israel gained possession of all the land of the Amorites who inhabit that country. They took possession of all the territory of the Ammonites from Aaron to Jabbok and from the wilderness to Jordan. And the Lord God of Israel had dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you then possess it, will you not possess whatever Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord our God take possession of before us, we will possess. And now, are you any better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he strive against Israel? Did he even fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon in its villages, and in Aaron in its villages, and in all the cities along the bank of the Aaron for 300 years, why did you not recover them within that time? Therefore, I have not sinned against you, but you wronged me by fighting against me. May the Lord, the judge, render judgment this day between the children of Israel and the people of Ammon. However, the king of the people of Ammon did not heed the words which Jethro sent. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jethro, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mispah of Gilead. And from Mispah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jethro made a vow to the Lord. There we go. He made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whoever comes out of the doors of my house to greet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Oh, my Lord. He didn't know, as I continued to read, he didn't know that his daughter would be the first one to greet him. So Jethro advanced toward the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he defeated them from Aaron as far as 20 cities and to Abel Keilah with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. When Jethro came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. Came to pass, when he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it. I mean, he made a vow to God that whoever greeted him first, he would give to the Lord, and that was his only child. So she said to him, my father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, people of Ammon. Then she said to her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I. So he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her friends and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. And it was so that at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father and carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed. She knew no man and became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went forth 4 days each year to lament the daughter of Jethro, the Gileadite. My Lord, then the men of Ephraim gathered together, crossed over toward Zephron, and said to Jethro, why did you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you with fire. And Jethro said to them, my people and I were in a great struggle with the people of Ammon, and when I called you, you did not deliver me out of their hands. So when I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hands. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? Now Jethro gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim, and the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, you Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites. And among the Manassites, the Gileadites seized the forest of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when the Ephraimites who escaped said, let me cross over, men of Gilead would say to them, are you an Ephraimite? If he said no, then they would say Shiphelet. And he would say Shiphla, for he would not pronounce it right. For they would take him and kill him at the force of the Jordan. There fell at that time 42,000 boy, 42,000 Ephraimites. And Jethro judged Israel 6 years. Then Jethro the Gileadite died and was buried among the cities of Gilead. After him, Ishbel of Bethlehem judged Israel. He had 30 sons, and he gave away 30 daughters in marriage and brought in 30 daughters from elsewhere for his sons. He judged Israel 7 years. Then Ishbel died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Ephlon, the Zebulite, judged Israel. He judged Israel 10 years. And Ephlon, the Zebulite, died and was buried at Elon in the country of Zebulun. After him, Adon, the son of Hillel, the Paradite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 young donkeys. He judged Israel 8 years. Then Adon, the son of Hittite, the Paradite in the land of Ephraim in the mountains of the Amorites. My God, our title today is Be Careful What You Vow. Your mouth can change life. I'm saying you have what you say, and you're supposed to speak life to your life. Don't make a vow. The Bible said, God said, don't make a vow. Be careful of what you vow. Because Jethro vowed the vow to the Lord. He said the first person that greet him, he would give to God. And it was his daughter. And so you have to be careful of what you vow. You have to be careful of what you say. Because I'm saying, and the Bible do say, you have what you say. So you're supposed to speak life to your life, not death to your life. You have what you say. Be careful of what you say. You really are supposed to be careful. Life lesson, Judges 12:3. I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hands. When in faith and obedience we take our life in our hands to do what God has called us to do, he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God takes care of our needs when we obey him. Obey God. Do what God tells you to do, and you'll come out better. Judges life lesson, Judges 11:24. Whatever the Lord our God takes possession of before us, we will possess. It's quite a statement. We will possess whatever the Lord possesses for us. Can you make the same spiritual blessing that God has gone ahead of you to possess for you? Be careful of what you say. What the Bible say about vows? Judges 11:29-14. Is there something you want that blazes in your heart like an ever-burning fire? You think about it all the time, and it takes all the faith you have to wait for it patiently. You do almost anything to have it, and though God has already promised to give you desires of your heart, Psalms 37:4, you feel like you need to go the extra mile to motivate God to give it to you. So you offer God a deal. You believe he can't refuse. This is the way Jethro's tragedy began. As war with the Amorites loomed ahead of him, a passion for victory burned in his heart. He pleaded with God in Judges 11:30-31, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. That was his daughter. Even though Jethro knew that the territory the Amorites wanted rightfully belonged to Israel, and though he realized that God would protect the inheritance he had given them, see Judges 11:15-24, it seems that Jethro still doubted, and whether it was to show his devotion to the Lord or to move God to act in Israel's favor, Jethro made the vow that he would soon deeply regret, without consulting God whether he should make the vow or not. Doubt makes us do many things that are not God's will for us. Jethro learned that hard way when he returned home from successfully defeating the Amorites. Judges 11:34 tells us, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with tambour and dancing. She was his only child. What a sad and horrible day. Although Jethro had gotten the victory, he would have to sacrifice his only child in order to fulfill his vow, and he knew he couldn't go back on his word to God. The question remains, was it really necessary? In fact, the answer is most definitely no. Jethro's sacrifice wasn't necessary. Desires obedience rather than sacrifice. The Lord promised, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, to be defeated before your face. God was going to give Jethro the triumph anyway, but because of his doubt in God, he paid a great price. He sacrificed his only child, his daughter. Understand that God does what he wants to see. Your vows do not move him. Your acts of sacrifice would not cause him to adjust his timetable. And in fact, your pledges may be evidence to him that your faith still isn't mature enough for what he wants to give you. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said in those of old, you should not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Friend, don't fall into the trap of evil one, thinking you can convince God through vows to give you desires of your heart, because that road only leads to heartache. Rather, obey God, count on his promises, and express your faith that he will do as he says. He will most certainly fulfill his promise to you above and beyond, which you can imagine. Because of Jethro Laird, the consequences of living any other way was far too great. He sacrificed his only child. He didn't have but one child, and that was a girl. And he made a vow. And like the title says, be careful what you vow. Your mouth can change
your life.
Amen. Your life. I'm going to turn this back
Amen.
Over to Pastor Bridget. Be careful.
Tell him, Mother, be careful. Don't say, I'm going to. And, Lord, I promise, over your life, you know, I am just so tired. I can't do this, that, or the other. No, you won't be able to if you keep saying you can't. I can. I can get everything in order. I can do what God says I can do. I can have life more abundantly. Because why? God said I can. And I'm believing God for it. And I don't have to make any vows to get it because it's mine. Because what God has for you is for you. It's irrevocable. Can't nobody take what's yours. Now, you can give it away, but can't nobody take it unless God allows it. We got to understand. We got to trust God that he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Because he said so. And we got to believe that. Trust in God. And be careful. You know, you got folks talking a whole bunch of trash about what they would do and what they do. If it was me, if it was me, Mother, that if it was me crowd, always vowing stuff. But if it was me, I would do such, such, and such. It's not you. So don't try to get into other people's business. That was my husband. I would do this, Y, X, Y, and Z. Well, if that was my wife, I would do X, Y, and Z. Well, I folks are even trying to vow to have other people's husbands, other people's wives. I know. I vow that's going to be my husband. What? You can't do that. And he's somebody else's husband? Come on now. Churches are destroyed because of vows by folks in harlotry wanting to take the pastor the pastor, he's going to be my husband. I vow that because I believe that's what God wants for me. No, he doesn't. That's a trick of the enemy. Mother just read it. Don't do it. Don't say it. Because you never know what you might be getting. You know, like I told you, I was at a church and an evangelist gave a testimony and talked about how her pastor, her husband, was beating her 50 going 30. Just every time she turned around, that man was beating her up. When she only had one pair of underwear she could wear during the week. And she had to wash out her underwear every night so she could wear it the next morning. You know, one pair of shoes she could wear during the week. But come Sunday, he let her wear her clothes, and she'd be dressed to the nines. And everybody thought First Lady had it going on. Makeup tight, hair tight, clothes looking good, not seeing the bruises under that long sleeve shirt, not seeing the bruises on her stomach, not seeing the bruises on her leg, not seeing the bruises. Because he made sure she covered it up. Even the black eye, she had to put on the makeup to cover it up. And see, we got to be careful what you ask for. You may vow to have that man and find out he ain't worth 2 cents. We got to be very, very careful. Don't make vows to God, especially. Lord, if you give me XYZ, then I'm going to do XYZ. Why are you trying to make a vow to God, trying to tell God what he going to do, because you'll do this, but God's got to do that. Negotiating with God. We got to be careful. We got to be careful that this little thing behind our teeth called a tongue does not allow our mouth to get us in trouble with God. Be careful.
Amen.
What to your life and over others, because you may be cursing somebody. We got to be careful about this mouth. And as we go to our psalm this morning, it says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you." Here we go. I am God, your God. God is the only one that can testify against us, that can take us down, as they say, a pig or two. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor a goat out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine. Every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle on 1,000 hills, I know all the birds of the mountains. And the wild beasts of the forest are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows, there it is, to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. It's not about glorifying ourselves. It's about glorifying God. He said, I don't need your sacrifices. What did it say, Mother? Obedience is better than sacrifice. God said, pay your vows to the Most High. If you make a vow to God, you got to fulfill it. And he told us to call upon him in the day of trouble. And he will deliver us, because he will, as long as he gets the glory. He tells us, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:28. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in lack of people is the downfall of a prince. Think about it. It'll come to you. And it says in Luke 17:1-19. Okay, God. In the multitude of people is a king's honor. The more people a king has, the more honor he gets. But in the lack of people, it's a downfall of a prince. In other words, the king may have all the constituents love him. But if you get a bad prince, folks is going to desert like it ain't nobody's business. The next thing you know, you have no people. You have no one to go to war for you. You have no one to do anything for you. And it will be your downfall. We got to be careful what we do, what we say, how we act, what vows we make. Our mouth can get us in all kind of trouble. And then it tells us in Luke 17, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And I got to go back a little bit to chapter 16 to put this in context so that it's understandable. In Luke 16, we're going to go to verse 27 and come back up to 17. It says, then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that we would send him to my father's house. I have five brothers. And this is when the rich man was talking about Lazarus and Abraham. And the word came. It said, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. And Jesus had just spoke this story, parable, speaking. And now he's telling us to say to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea than that he should have been one of these little ones, talking about children. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Can I say it again? Take heed to yourself. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And we need that ourselves. We all need our faith increased. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him, when he has come in from the come at once and sit down to eat, but will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he think that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this one? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, think about this. The Americans, people that were mixed, they were mixed people. They were Canaanites and Israelites. They were not necessarily full Hebrew. They were mixed race. And they were looked at as like they were Mongols. They were like less than. But all through the Word of God, Jesus used Samaritans as examples that you may think you are chosen, but the least among you can be risen just as high. The Good Samaritan, you know, the priest went his own way, then up, looked over at that man being beat up bloody in a mess, walked around him. Everybody walked around him. The Samaritan took him and got him healed. That Samaritan paid his hotel bill. That Samaritan did everything he was supposed to do. The woman at the well, a Samaritan woman who had more than one husband, and the one she was with was not her own. Did Jesus talk about it? No. He gave her living water. And then what did she do? Evangelize. Went to everybody telling them about Jesus. And then a 10 lepers, all had leprosy, all 10, but only the Samaritan came back and said, thank you. We got to be grateful. We got to have faith. And we got to know to tell God every morning, thank you, Lord, give me up. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a new day. Because he didn't have to do it, but he did. And it says, if he sins against you, Luke 17:4, 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day return to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Jesus is not encouraging irresponsible behavior on the part of the offender, but merciful and gracious behavior on the part of the offended. But even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We can't walk around acting like we so high and mighty and walking in offense. Well, I'm not going back to that church because pastor was preaching XYZ for the pulpit, and I know she was talking about me. I'm not going back because I don't know who he thinks he is talking about somebody from the pulpit. Now, understand, in the door. The pastor does not know them from Adam, has no clue who they are. The word that the pastor was preaching and why it hit them right, that right foot, it was right and tight, was because it was for them. They came for a reason, and God gave them an answer. But when the answer is not what they wanted to hear, they want to talk about the church and talk about the pastor. When the pastor didn't know them, didn't have a clue who they were. Didn't know their story, didn't know anything about them. Just preaching what God gave them. And so many times folks walk out of churches offended because that shoe was fitting and it was good and tight because it was right. But when you don't want to hear something, the first thing is to run. And then you go and talk about folks. You know, you got folks that leave churches and go and talk about the pastor like a dog. Well, pastor this and that. The church that I left to go to my current church, I would go there tomorrow. I loved my church. But that was God called me to go somewhere else. And I left in great standing with my previous pastor. And every time he sees me, the first lady, I get hugs. I get hugs, and it feels good. And I'm asked how am I doing. And when you're told someone is proud of you for listening to God, you can't help but feel good about it. And that's what we want. We want to do things decent and in order. You can't leave offended. You got to let it go. And if you went to a bad church and had what some say church hurt, but it's no such thing as church hurt, it's people hurt. And if someone in your previous church hurt you, you forgive them and keep it moving because God may have used them to get you out and set a fire for for you to go somewhere that he needs you. Don't get offended. Forgive. Luke 17:5, increase our faith. We do not need more faith to comply with the Lord's instructions, but genuine faith is not the amount that matters, but its nature. The almighty power of God can flow through any unobstructed channel. Hallelujah. We want to walk right, talk right, be right. Luke 17:10, we are unprofitable servants, done what was our duty to do. Jesus does not want us to grow proud over the things he enables us to accomplish by his spirit. So Paul writes, "But if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. But necessity is laid upon me." This is my job. This is mother's job as ministers, as preachers, as pastors, as teachers, is to read and teach the word of God and to meditate on it day and night. There's no accolades needed. We're doing what we're called to do. It's our job. It's our assignment. It's our calling. We were chosen. We were called to do this for such a time as this. But there's no glory that we should get for it. We get what we get because God gave it to us, and he gave us the ability to read, the ability to see, the ability to speak. Job is our duty to God. And we don't need someone saying, "Oh, you're just so great and wonderful." No, we are doing what we're called to do because we love God and we want to do what God has called us to do. No vows made. Just being humble servants of the Lord. Luke 17:18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Oftentimes, the most unlikely people are the ones who obey God and give him glory. God always accepts their praise and frequently uses them as the examples of a righteous heart. You got folks just losing their mind in pulpits. Oh, politics. Politics does not belong in the pulpit. Foolishness. You know, I listened to a pastor on yesterday, and he preached a word about it. That, you know, we have lost our way as Christians, allowing demigods and all kind of craziness to come into the church. There is only one God, and he is Jehovah. He is Yahweh, and he does not have an equal, not one. He has a Son, and he has a Holy Spirit who are a part of him. But there's only one God, Savior. He is holy. He is everything. And he does not have an equal. And he definitely does not have an equal in man. Trust God today. Love God today. And don't make vows you cannot keep. Be careful what you vow. Your mouth can change your life. All it takes is one wrong word, and it can get you killed. One wrong thought, and it can send you to the pit of hell. We've got to be careful. We've got to trust. And that is all I have this morning, Mother. I do have a word from Sister Carolyn.
Amen.
And our word for this morning is this from Sister Carolyn. Carla. Just a moment. I had it pulled up and lost it. And again, right on point, I thank God for my sister. 2:45 this morning, God put this in her spirit, and it is, "Good morning. When you honor God first," come on now, "everything else will fall into place. Have a terrific Tuesday." It definitely has. Remember, all you got to do is honor God. You don't have to make any vows. But he did it anyway and lost his child because he thought, "All I got to do is I'm going to give God this if God gives me that. That you don't have to make a vow to God. All you have to do is honor him. So thank God for Sister Carolyn listening to the voice of God this early, early morning. When you honor God first, everything else will fall into place. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. And that is all I have. If there's anyone else that's got a word, now's the time to push the one on your phone. And our number for those that listen on social media is 213-943-3597. You can call in and listen to the show on your phone if you are not able to get into Blog Talk Radio, or if you are not a part of my social media, you're catching me on Twitter or on Facebook. You can come and join us by phone at 213-943-3597, and you will be able to speak. And all you have to do is push the one on your phone. Mother Valerie, not look like anyone is pushing that one, and it is time for us to go. We have a couple of minutes.
You know,
if God is putting anything else on your heart.
You know, that's a beautiful word that we had this morning. Don't make a vow unless you're able to keep it, and the Bible tells you that. And then I like what you were saying about co-signing. I think in all of my 80 years, I only co-signed for a person maybe one time. And you have to be careful co-signing, because if they don't pay that bill, you're going to have to pay it. But the person that
Amen.
I co-signed for, they did pay their bill. And a lot of times, Pastor Jessie is always helping people. And she's always doing things for people, like signing her name to things. She's always trying to help her people. And you have to be careful doing that, because even though you want to help the people, a lot of times they don't pay off them car notes that you help them to get. She likes to see all of her people with things. And some people just don't honor that. And then she ends up having to pay for it for them. So you have to be careful of signing your name to anything, because once you do it, you're going to have to pay that off. And,
Amen.
I thank God that I only co-signed one time, and the person did pay their bill, and I didn't have to pay it. So you really have to be careful making vows, be careful co-signing, and all of that good stuff. You just have to be careful. Know who you are co-signing for. Know that person. And that person
Amen.
Will not stick you with the bill unless something unfortunate happened, like they get sick or they die, or something like that. They can't help it if they die, and you have to pay that bill. If they die, you still don't have to pay that bill. So don't make vows. If you make a vow to the Lord said to keep it. God said it's better that you don't even make a vow. And
that's
what the title was. Be careful what you vow. Your mouth
your
can
mouth
change,
can change your life. Your life.
It really, really can.
Woo.
It can. And then you have what you say. Speak life to your life, not death to your life. Whatever you say over your own life, it's going to come to pass, because you're saying this yourself. You're the one that's speaking. Nobody else has to speak it for you. You're doing it yourself. So just be careful out there. Be careful.
Amen.
Be careful. Be careful. And have a blessed day. I mean, that's all I have.
You as well, Mother. God bless you. God keep you. May his light shine upon you and give you peace. And for everyone, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it, when you honor God first, everything falls into place. Have a terrific Tuesday, family. It is, Mother, what is it? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It really is. A wrap.
A wrap.